Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everybody. Andrew Bays with you. This is Thursday, August 16, 2018. You are listening to RSN 927, and this is the Breakfast Bite for the next 25 minutes. Let's start with the footy news from yesterday. First of all, late last night, courtesy of Channel 7 here, Neil Baum on Trent Cotchin extending his deal at the Tigers.
Obviously, he was committed for some time anyway, but we've extended him to, so he's a one-club player, I guess. He and Jack and Rancey in particular are very important to us, and we've got them all sorted out for the longer term. So the place is in a pretty good place from that point of view.
He is locked in until the end of 2022 now, the Richmond Premiership captain. To Tom McDonald now from the D's. He was under fire yesterday with a few questions from the press. He did, though, endorse Sam Wiedemann as the replacement for Jesse Hogan.
It might mean a little bit more responsibility on me, but like guys like Sam Wiedemann's playing so well in the VFL, and he's stiff not to be playing AFL. So if that's the case, I'm sure Sam will do a good job.
Plenty of footy news to come, as well as a bit more NRL coaching news, just for something a little bit different. Another name has been thrown onto the merry-go-round. There's also soccer, rugby, cricket and tennis to come on your Thursday morning.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
And it is a packed breakfast club coming up after 6 o'clock. Stick around, there is so much to get through. Sam Mitchell, Huff and Whitey caught up with him after yesterday's show for a chat about his new book and also life in the West and what 2019 holds. He'll join us from about 6:30 this morning. Brendan Goddard's in the inner sanctum. His future up in the air. It will be interesting to see where his head is at the moment. Lockie Henderson from Geelong, Caleb Daniel from the Western Bulldogs, Brandon Ellis from Richmond, and Lyndon Hall, who's a young Australian athletic star. She's joining us on the way to the airport back over for a few more meets. She is currently the Australian record holder for the 1500 metres and the mile, so she's enjoying a really good 2018. Let's start though with the footy news, and we'll start with Neil Baum. Channel 7 caught him last night, so all this audio courtesy of them. Let's hear what he had to say first of all about Dion Prestia.
Yeah, he's a little bit sore in the hammy. Not quite sure whether it'll even keep him out for this week. We'll see how we go. But we're pretty conservative with him. He's had a few soft tissue over the journey. But he's going pretty well. He's running all right. But we're just a bit concerned about what that means, given the finals are coming. Yeah, he was a little bit sore during the game. A touch sore, but he was able to play the game out. So that's why we're not super concerned about it. But it is bothering him a little bit. And he has a bit of a history. So we'll treat it reasonably conservatively. We'll just see how he goes. But from his point of view, obviously, he wants to play. So he's not out of the question at the moment.
Another midfielder who has a few question marks on him heading into finals because he won't play the last couple of home and around games is Kane Lambert. Neil Baum with an update there.
Yeah, pretty well. It was a bit of unusual surgery for the syndesmosis, which is a bit of an ankle injury, but sometimes they last forever. So they've just settled that down, and he's responded pretty well to it, but it means he'll miss at least a couple of weeks. Almost certainly. He should be available for first final.
And now to Neil Baum on Dan Butler, who's got a few injury concerns heading into September as well.
Well, he had the same injury and we didn't treat it the same way, but now he's had a little bit of surgery on it, which is just holds the ankle together a bit better, makes it easier to recover from the syndesmosis, which quite often takes a long time. They stay pretty sore. So he's recovered from that pretty well too, so probably won't be available next week, but maybe, so he's not that far off.
Let's head to St Kilda now, where the crisis almost seemed to deepen last night with one of their former champions weighing in on what's happening down at Moorabbin. Nick Riewoldt, speaking on AFL 360 last night, said things aren't looking good for his former side.
It is a dire situation at St Kilda at the moment, and I really feel for the club and for the members of the football club, because a really transparent rebuild, which hasn't gone to plan, and the club and the administration asked for a lot of patience from the supporters, but you just feel now that that's starting to wear really thin.
So interesting comments there from the captain of the club for about the last decade or so. He wasn't that emphatic either on the future of Alan Richardson at the helm.
It's a difficult question to answer without being there every week. I mean, the results so far this year would suggest that he's under pressure, and I think he understands that, and I think the football club are aware of that. That's what the review really has been about, and whether the landscape will change based on what happens over the next 2 weeks. Only the club can answer that. But up until this point, Simon Lethlean's been pretty resolute that Richo is the right man and he's going to be safe. So until we hear otherwise, we have to assume that that's the case.
More from Nick Riewoldt a little later on in the Breakfast Bite. Now to Tom McDonald. He was very defensive yesterday of the Ds when asked about their form against top eight sides.
Parts out on a footy field where we're making mistakes are not the parts about being mentally weak or soft. Like, we're the best contested footy team in the comp. You can't do that if you're a mentally weak group. So that's not the issue. Our issue is almost the opposite of what people say, is the finishing part of the game and some of the defensive running transition sort of stuff to be a little bit better. So to say we're mentally weak, I think's incorrect.
Tom McDonald also spoke about his own goal kicking over the last few weeks.
A bad week last week, missing a couple of easy ones, and I went back and looked at my technique and I was kicking it not the way I normally would, wasn't falling through well, and ball drop was a little bit off. Once I realise what I do well when I'm kicking well at goal, I fix it up and I think it'll be all good from here.
And just finally, before we leave footy for the time being, Adam Treloar, he is looking hopefully to get back for the finals. He gave us an update on Fox Sports yesterday on his recovery.
I reckon I'd say I'm expected where I thought I'd be, and obviously post the surgery, which was 7 weeks today, they said about 8 to 12 week recovery where the chance of coming back to playing is there. So I'd say I'm about there still. I can't really say I'm ahead, because me being really optimistic and thinking that I was going to get back for the last game, I think that's off the cards. But in terms of my training, in terms of how I'm feeling, there's no real restrictions on me. I think the only thing I can't really do is the high-end speed stuff where I did do my hamstring, I was really running really quick, and that's the only thing I can't really do at the moment because, there's not enough strength in that left hamstring. But it's building day by day, and each session that goes by, I run three, four times a week. Each session that goes by, I get quicker and quicker. So I'm hoping that all goes well with the boys, we keep winning and playing good footy, that I can get back potentially for the first final. But I just got to play it day by day.
Thursday night rather, in the NRL, round 23 starts tonight. It is the Brisbane Broncos facing the South Sydney Rabbitohs. But this now has an interesting underlying text to it, which is the coaching situation. Wayne Bennett's future is up in the air at the moment. Anthony Seibold, who is the South Sydney Rabbitohs coach, was asked yesterday whether he might be heading north to take over Wayne's job.
You know, I can't say any more times. I've not actually spoken to the Broncos, and, you know, obviously there's some interest there from them, but, you know, I've not spoken to anyone there, so it hasn't been on my radar. I haven't had to, I suppose, talk to the players about it, and none of the players have spoken to me about it, and I briefly mentioned it to the leadership group, and we just cracked on with it.
Yeah, this comes after the weekend where there was a mysterious barbecue story where half the players at the Broncos went to Wayne Bennett's house for a barbecue, and half the players went to the CEO's house for a barbecue. Wayne Bennett yesterday tried to clear things up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd... I was asked a few questions about it, and I thought I'd, given the answers, but obviously, it's the drama queens at work. And obviously they want to slant things in their direction. So basically what happened was that Paul was having a function at his place. We're all invited to it, and as I was leaving council on Friday morning, I told him I wouldn't be going, as I had two other commitments that day, which one of those involved the club. And the team was coming on the later flight, and I duly went home, got to the things I had to do, and about 1 o'clock they were still in town, so I was due to leave at 11:30 actually, and the plane was delayed. And I started to get a couple of text messages about guys coming to my place for a barbecue, and I thought they were jeering me up. I thought it was just boys being boys, having a few beers, probably waiting in the airport. So I took no notice of it, got on with my day, and then about 3 o'clock they landed. I got a phone call from one of the players. He said, "Coach, we're coming to your place. We want to come barbecue." I said, "Well, I don't have a barbecue, but you can come."
Who was that player?
Oh, no, it's remain nameless. Anyway, about 6 o'clock they started rocking in, and there was no pre-planned. The function wasn't a team function, it was a club function, and no players were told they had to be at the function. It wasn't compulsory. A lot of the players did go to Paul's place, okay, and they come into my place. So that's pretty much how it happened. And no one started arriving at my place about 5:30. We had a great night, really enjoyed each other's company, and I'm pleased we did it.
Wade Bennett there speaking yesterday about Barbecue Gate up on the weekend. Now to Darius Boyd. He is one of the stars. He's been a long-time star for the Brisbane Broncos, and he spoke about the future, his future and Wayne Bennett's future at the club yesterday.
It is a bit comical, but I suppose it's been more of a media beat-up than anything, to be honest. It wasn't a compulsory barbecue at Whitey's, and end of the day, it was a few guys just really wanting to support Wayne and throw some support behind him. I suppose more importantly, towards a lot of the media and the scrutiny that he's copped, it was never anything. I suppose it was never picking sides about Whitey or Wayne or anything like that. We all spoke to Whitey. A lot of the boys went to Whitey's as well, and Whitey was fine with it, you know. And so I think it's just been a massive, massive beat up. Oh, my relationship with Whitey's been really good the last 4 years that I've known Paul White. He's probably been the best, well, he definitely has been the best CEO I've ever come across. He has a lot of time for his players. He really cares about the club and the people inside of it. And we have a good relationship, a really, really good relationship. We've spoken twice the last week. We always have long conversations. We have breakfast together and talk about what's going on at the club. So obviously, I have a great relationship with Wayne as well. So it's a tough position to be in for the players. But at the end of the day, we're players. We're signed to play rugby league. We have a big game on tomorrow night against the Rabbitohs, and we just need to focus on that.
Before we head to the break, let's hear from the Victory's latest recruit, Honda. He spoke yesterday about arriving in Melbourne and playing in an English-speaking country for the first time as a professional.
So thank you for inviting me here. I'm so happy to be here. I'm exciting. When I arrived at the airport, I have never played English country so far. So it's weird when I talk to someone in English, in passport control and everywhere. So I'm so glad that I can try new challenge in my career. I'm 32 years old. I was thinking to quit my career after the World Cup, but luckily this club offered me the great offer that's changed my mind, my career.
Honda there speaking yesterday at his big unveiling. One weird thing in the last week or so, he's actually announced as general manager of the Cambodian national team, which was an odd move for someone who's just signed a professional contract for the Melbourne Victory. He was asked about that yesterday at his press conference.
Four months ago, I spoke to the Cambodian Association. I asked them, may I become a manager of national team? At the same time, I'm a soccer player, and they said yes. So I think I asked them weird questions, but that's me. I always try anything what I want. So that's why it happened. And luckily, this club, the Melbourne Victory, understand my situation and they respect my activities. Yeah, so I mean, I feel pressure because I have a lot of responsibilities. I have to play well here. So now I need to train well after this press conference. So nice to finish this press conference now. Yeah.
And that was it. He was off onto the training track, and we'll see him in the A-League a little after the footy season finishes. Plenty to come after the break on the breakfast spot, including a little bit of rugby, cricket and tennis, plus the rest of your footy news from a busy Wednesday.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
I left my shoes in the locker room. Sorry, man.
That was Nick Kyrgios. He left his shoes in the locker room yesterday, so a bit of a pause before his match over at Kudla, but he did win in three sets in the end, 6-7, 7-5, 7-6. Let's have a listen to what he had to say after the win at the Cincinnati Masters.
Yeah, it's always good to get a win at a tournament that you know you did previously pretty well in. So I'm struggling a little bit physically. I'm not 100%, so I'm just happy to get through. But obviously, you know, I'm still able to serve at a high level, which you know is half the game. So I gave myself a chance today, and you know the third set tiebreak was pretty up and down, but it was a lot. I don't usually feel too many things on the tennis court, but you know I felt a little bit of adrenaline in the third set, which was good.
Yeah, good that Nick could get excited about something on the tennis court. Now to Bernard Foley, he is the Wallabies' number 10. He actually says the force axing and the consolidation of the Melbourne Rebels has actually helped the Wallabies' intensity at training.
I suppose that was the silver lining. You know, competition for spots is greater when you're going down to four teams naturally, and you know guys having to work harder and push harder. And I think even just amongst super programs, coaches recognising that they have to train harder and have to be better prepared each week.
Sticking with the Wallabies, a bit of a former Wallaby making his TV debut last night. I know Whitey would be very keen on this. The Honey Badger on The Bachelor. Let's have a listen to some of his work last night on Channel 10.
I'd be keen to catch up with her again.
We're off to a hell of a start, ladies and gentlemen.
I suppose
Wow. She left me wanting more, but at the same time, happy with what I got.
Not bad from the badge last night. Now to some cricket. Brett Lee now, who says he wants to make the pitches tough for India come summer.
When we go to India, or when the guys go to India, because I'm not playing any longer, thank God, but, you know, we play on slow, low-turning tracks. So when they come out here, what we don't want to give them are slow, low-turning wickets. Put some grass on the wicket. I'm not talking about a green seam that it'll be over in 2 days, but, you know, give a bit to the bowlers. You know that in Adelaide it's going to be nice and flat. You know in Brisbane it will swing around. So test them in our home conditions. They've lost their last two series against Australia, so they will be under pressure. Australia are two men down in Warner and Stephen Smith, so they'll be under pressure too. So I think it's going to be a great series, and what better way to show it on Fox Cricket.
Brett Lee speaking there last night on Fox Sports News. Now to the rest of the footy news from a pretty busy Wednesday. We'll start with Stephen Cornelio. He's had to speak about GWS's injury crisis that has struck again on Fox Footy last night.
Yeah, look, we've addressed it on a couple of occasions. I think more just pushing the you know, optimistic approach of giving younger guys opportunity, and these guys are you know playing knee for most weeks and playing really well and waiting for their opportunity, and we've been blessed sort of probably 2 years ago and the year previous to that in 2015 where we had you know at 22, 24 guys that were playing most weeks and now the opportunities are popping up for a couple more guys, but I think as well the guys that have gone down with injuries have been immense for the group. I think you can only you know look at Shorey on the weekend and he went down and probably knew that his season was done, but the fact that he was on the bench pretty much coaching and you know yelling out stuff to guys of support speaks volume of sort of the characters we have, and so that helps as well.
Huge game for the Giants this week on Saturday afternoon in the twilight slot at Spotless Stadium. They take on Sydney, which is a massive game in the context of the battle for the final eight and top four positions as well. Whichever team wins that will likely be in the top four by the end of the round. Now to Luke Shuey. He spoke yesterday about facing the D. Speaking of crunch games, this is massive for Melbourne.
We'd have had a few distractions throughout the season, but I think we've managed to stay reasonably focused on the job at hand and stay on task. And yeah, the last fortnight, 3 weeks has probably been the toughest, but had a win on the weekend, and now we move on to Melbourne and hopefully we can just focus on footy. I think they've tended to respond pretty well to criticism throughout the season, so, and that's credit to them, credit to their coach, and yeah, they've got some A-grade talent throughout their side, so it's never a walk in the park against them, and especially this week, plenty on the line. I'd expect them to rock up at their best.
Let's stay with Luke Shuey, of course, missing Andrew Gaff for the rest of the season and into next season. Although, where will he be? Luke Shuey was asked that question yesterday at his presser.
I know he loves the club. He loves the people involved, and the West Coast Footy Club has been such a big part of his life for the last 8 years, so it's a massive decision. I don't want to comment on it. It's his decision, and it's great now that he's got time to think about it, but we certainly look forward to having him back around the traps over the next few days or week or so, and he can help us have a crack at finals.
Speaking of big decisions, there's one ahead of Dane Beams, if the rumours are to be heard, as to whether he might come back to Melbourne next year. Chris Fagan was speaking about that yesterday.
Bottom line is he's contracted for 2 more years at the footy club, so I'm not sure if anything's going to happen. I think he's a Lions player, so it would take something extraordinary for him not to be. And, you know, you look at his form. I see him on a daily basis. I see how he engages with the group and how he talks about our future. And I'd be really puzzled if something different to that happens. So that's where we sit with it.
Now to North Melbourne, who had that slip up last week against the Western Bulldogs. They need to win both their last games if they're to be any chance of playing in September this year. They've got Adelaide this week at the Adelaide Oval in the Sunday twilight slot, and then next week they take on St Kilda at home. So they might be able to gain a little bit of percentage and a win in the last round, but this week looms as the biggest game for them. They haven't faced Adelaide in over a year, which is a strange quirk of the fixture. Todd Goldstein spoke about that yesterday.
It's obviously one of those intricate things of the draw. I think it'll be about 470 days playing since we last played them when we line up on Sunday. But, you know, I think that although their season may be over, you know, we know Adelaide and Adelaide Oval is always tough. Their supporters are very vocal. The players always lift. And, you know, they played in the grand final last year. So they're not exactly a poor side.
Back to the St Kilda side of things with Nick Riewoldt. He was on AFL 360 on Fox Footy last night talking about the Saints. He wasn't as emphatic maybe as he was last year on Alan Richardson's future. He described the situation as dire at Moorabbin and also noted that there might be a possible role for himself back at the club in the future.
I've had some conversations about what that might look like and my role presently in the media and the challenges that might exist there. So it's not something that I would jump into without being really or having a really deep understanding as to what it involved. I don't have any desires at this stage to coach or to do anything within the football department. I think as well having a role in the media to a certain extent precludes you from doing that because of the conflict that does exist. But there have been plenty of people in the past that have sort of had dual roles. But again, at this stage, it's not something that I'm entertaining.
Nick Riewoldt there speaking last night on Fox Footy. Plenty of discussion, I'm sure, around that with half Whitey and Rammer after 6 o'clock this morning. It's a big show coming up. Brendan Goddard in the Inner Sanctum from 7 o'clock this morning. Sam Mitchell on his book from 6:30. We'll have Lockie Henderson from Geelong, Caleb Daniel from the Western Bulldogs, Brandon Ellis from Richmond, Scotty Gullen with all the latest footy news, and young athletic star Lyndon Hall as well on her way back overseas to represent Australia. A lot going on a busy Thursday morning. Enjoy the next 2.5 hours.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.